Welcome to this week's edition of Worst Seats in the House with Michael Russo. I'm Anthony LaPanta. A busy week around the National Hockey League expansion draft, the rookie draft, the free agent period starts, trade ban has been lifted. We got a lot going on right now, and this is we've been talking and speculating about a lot of this stuff for, it seems like, months. And it finally came to reality as the Seattle Kraken announced their 30 expansion selections. And you know what was interesting? I kept trying to put myself back in the mindset of what I would have known about the players Vegas was selecting in 2017
yep.
compared to the players that Seattle was taking. Like, you know, we wouldn't have known at that time what William Karlsson was going to be or Jonathan Marchessault was going to be. But it sure seems like an underwhelming list for the Seattle Kraken. I got to tell you, what do you think?
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I agree with you on Vegas, though. You know, at least there were guys we heard of. But then I was thinking back, as you just said, and I just said this on The Fan, Anthony. Like, I remember I had no clue who Thomas Noshik was or William Carrier, and here they are still in their lineup. So maybe a lot of these guys that even those of us that make our livings off covering hockey had never heard of, maybe they'll still wind up being interesting players. But I think what Seattle did yesterday, you know, was essentially not – put themselves in a position where they were going to be stuck with bad contracts, get guys that could either make the team or be sent to the minors or essentially be dumped or flipped somewhere else. But what Ron Francis clearly did is he didn't load up on cap space. You know, they're still under the floor. And so what that does is it gives them a ton of flexibility. You know, once the trade deadline trade freeze is lifted here today at noon, to maybe make some moves to go out and dabble into free agency, to go out and maybe make trades for significant players, to save some of that cap space for future years, to try to hit home runs. Or the other thing is to act in a league where everybody is close to the cap but want to make moves, act as some sort of third-party conduit to help broker trades, to act as a third team. And Minnesota is one of those teams. You know, we've talked a lot here that if Minnesota wants to go out and trade for number one center or number two center, they're going to probably have to be dollar in type, dollar out type trades. And when you're talking about the Buffalo Sabres and just using Jack Eichel as an example, right now they want all futures from Minnesota, where the Wild can't even do that if they wanted to. So what you could do if you're Billy Guerin and you wanted to get into that is try to get a third team involved, trade some salary to that team, and then work out a way where Buffalo is getting the assets that they want from both teams, and then you're getting the player you want. So, you know, I think what Ron Francis did yesterday was really, you know, create a lot of flexibility, that he's got a lot of things, and this is just one part of a jigsaw puzzle that we're going to see come into fruition here in the next little bit. But as you mentioned also on the top, Anthony, is that we finally have something tangible to talk about. We know that Carson Soucy is the one gone, where you and I have been speculating for 2 years, you know, who is going to leave here.
Well, I think that's true, and we can get into that a little bit more. But, you know, sticking on the Seattle side of things, were you surprised that, at least at this point, we don't know of even one deal that was made that allowed them to basically grab a second asset in order for a team to protect another player? Were you surprised we didn't hear about even one?
Yeah, and apparently that would have had to been announced. So really what's going to happen today at noon are sort of secondary deals and flip deals. Like a guy like Carson Soucy, is he staying in Seattle or is he being flipped to another team that wants a left-shot defenseman, like, say, the New York Rangers, which is the team that I hear was talking to Minnesota before about Soucy, that they didn't want to do. So we'll see if that happens. I've heard all along that the price was really exorbitant. We're talking like a first round pick and another asset, whether or not it's another draft pick or a player, to get off certain guys. So that's why I think GMs like Billy Guerin just had no appetite to do that. And so, you know, Ron Francis definitely did this in a different method than Vegas did. He kept it super high. But I am a little surprised. Like, if I were Ron Francis, I would have gone to a team like Tampa and said, you know what, we're going to take Cal Foote. And now you're not going to lose $5 million worth of payroll in an offseason where you want to lose $5 million of payroll. So what will you give us to take Yanni Gourde or Tyler Johnson or something like that? So I'm surprised that as of now, it doesn't look like he did any of that, or he tried that type of stuff and it didn't work. But, you know, to me, all he did in Tampa's situation was help that team out. Obviously, they don't want to lose Yanni Gourde, but, you know, all you did was free up $5 million of cap space for them and maybe not even get another asset, like where you could have said to them, you know what, I'll take Tyler Johnson, but you got to give me Cal Fuller. You got to give me this asset. And it doesn't look like that stuff happened.
Right. And that's what I think we both felt, that there would be fewer of those deals because of the lessons learned in the Vegas situation. But I thought there'd be at least one or two.
And
Tampa
none.
Was actually Tampa was actually one of the spots where I thought it made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And I will say, Yanni Gourde, to me, if you had to look at all the forwards that were selected, he probably would be the most likely to say this is a guy who's going to thrive in a bigger role, which is, I still, going back, I mean, that's what Vegas did so well. They pegged guys that had been buried wherever they were that they thought, hey, in a bigger role, this guy is going to excel. And they hit on four or five or six of those. To me, Yanni Gourde looks like he might be the most likely to do that.
Yep, and it's interesting because it was reported after the expansion draft that he's actually had or is having shoulder surgery and is going to miss the start of the season. So, you know, obviously that apparently didn't matter to them. But yeah, I was definitely surprised. It was underwhelming. But again, you know, I look back at Vegas. I remember sitting in the – this won't shock you. I remember sitting with Dan Myers in the press room there covering the NHL awards and the expansion draft, and we were almost like laughing at the players that Vegas was taking. And some of those guys might have been William Karlsson. Who knows? But it just shows you, I mean, there's different ways that you build a team. And, you know, the one thing I'll do is give Seattle the benefit of the doubt. They've been doing this behind the scenes for months and months and months, putting this, you know, figuring out, mock drafting this. And clearly there's a reason why you would take, you know, some no-name over a Zadorov or some no-name over a Gostisbehere or a Voracek or somebody like a Yarncroc over a Ryan Johansson or Matt Duchene. And that's sort of what I meant, Anthony, by they didn't put themselves in a position where they were going to be stuck with bad contracts. They took players that they would have better control of. And you know, Yarncroc's there to play, where Duchene and Johansson, you'd just be stuck with or have to retain half the salary to move them. Or, you know, in the case of Tarasenko, similar type of thing. They just didn't even want to deal with it. They just took Vince Dunn.
Well, right. And you look around at the number of names like that. Tarasenko, we heard Landeskog's name. You heard Carey Price's name.
Yep.
And the fact that they stayed away from Carey Price, I thought, was interesting when the Vegas model couldn't have been more similar with grabbing Marc-Andre Fleury to just be, you know, kind of the face of the franchise and the stabilizer right from the beginning. It felt like, oh boy, Carey Price is available. This is going to be, you know, this is going to be the second trip down the same path. But they opted against that. The one thing, as underwhelming as I thought their forward group was, the defensive core that they've built, there's some good players there.
Completely agree.
You know, Mark Giordano is still a really good player. I like Jamie Oleksiak a lot. Vince Dunn, I think, is a solid player. And of course, Carson Soucy is going to be in that mix somewhere. I mean, that I was talking to a friend of mine last night and he was like, well, yeah, and Carson Soucy will probably thrive in a bigger role there. I said, I'm not sure he's going to have a bigger role. I mean, he might be the fifth defenseman there. I mean, it is crazy that I do think they really did a good job with that. And maybe they just felt like the forwards that were available that were the slightly more proven or the more talented, at least at this point in their career, were just so expensive that they felt they could add those pieces elsewhere instead. It'll be interesting, but I just kept trying to think about what did I think of these guys the night Vegas took them, because that's really what you have to, these guys might, we might be looking at a couple of guys that do that exact same thing.
Yeah, I remember looking at Vegas thinking, all right, you know, getting Marchessault and Smith were good pickups because those guys were going to be able to score there. I never thought that William Karlsson was going to go from a fourth line guy in Columbus to being a 40-goal scorer there on, you know, centering that top line. And you saw that throughout. I mean, Eric Holla was another one that they grabbed here that was, you know, third and fourth line here that goes there and he scores, I think, 29 goals his first year. But doesn't it feel like Seattle almost went the traditional route to build an expansion team? Defense, hard work ethic. And as you mentioned, their blue line looks really solid. And a guy you didn't mention is Adam Larson. He's somebody there he's signing a free agent contract. The Oleksiak deal I like, but you know, when I saw the contract that he signed there, I'm like, all right, there's their first buyout. You know, it's like 5 years at 4.8 for Jamie Oleksiak, who just, you know, I don't know. It's just, numbers still are a little baffling for me. Let's talk about Soucy going there. Again, we don't know if he's going to get flipped. I do think there's going to be, you know, they have too many defensemen. They're going to have to trade some So Soucy could be somebody that teams come calling on. It's interesting, you know, I as much as I like Soucy, and I think that he would have, especially with Suter not here anymore, wouldn't be as trapped and could get elevated minutes. I think this was probably the best case scenario for the Wild, Anthony. I just feel like it's a lot easier to replace Carson Soucy with the number of defensemen that are available right now than it would have been to go. It would have been easy for the Wild to go and replace Kaapo Kähkönen. But the problem is, if you lose Kähkönen at $725,000, you're probably going to have to go out into free agency and overspend for a backup goalie that probably is not going to be as good. And so, like, you know, to go spend $1.5 million and $2 million on a goalie, you know, that's going to play 20 games, I just think would have been bad business. Where now at least they save they get an extra $2.75 million of cap space, keep their $725,000 backup that showed last year he could at least play and perform if needed on in a pinch. And you know, I just think that you can go out and replace Soucy. What do you think? I know you're not the biggest Kähkönen guy, but I'm just talking about the business angle of this. Kähkönen right. makes 725. You're probably spending 2 million or 1.5 on a backup that's probably like a, you know, I'm just, you know, a Curtis McElhaney type or somebody, you know.
Right, and I don't know what the market would be for those guys. I'm sure, you know, obviously Billy knows, has a lot better idea than we do, but you're right. I'm not as convinced that you can lean on Kähkönen for 25 or 30 games. Mm-hmm. And the way this schedule is going to be this year, assuming that there's the Olympic break written in, it's going to be a more condensed schedule. It's going to require teams to get more out of a backup goaltender, I believe. I don't think you're going to see many 60-20 splits from starter to backup. I think it's going to be a lot more in the 52-55-25 kind of range. And I wasn't as sold on Kähkönen down the stretch. Yeah. And, you know, maybe that's too early to make that judgment. But I also think when you've lost Ryan Suter out of your top five, and for Suter out of maybe perhaps your top two, for sure your top four, and now you take Soucy away, you're taking what was the strength of this club. And the reason why I felt that no matter what happened up front, the Wild were going to be relevant, and it was going to be because of their defensive structure, mm-hmm. goaltending, and their defensive core. And not that Carson Soucy is an irreplaceable part by any means, but he has to be replaced because I don't see guys within the organization that are ready to take on that 100%. Role. So I would have rather, just from a surface level, I would have rather had them take the goaltender than the defenseman. Yeah. But we'll see. And I do think there are some defensemen out there that could be a good fit and a good replacement. But, you know, Soucy, I still believe, was a guy that was – his career is on the way up right now. And we'll have to see how he does if he is able to secure a larger role, more minutes, mm-hmm. all of that. He sure looked like a guy capable of that with what we saw here.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I will say, like, you know, to me, you know, this is why also, like, the Suter buyout – just continues to be a little more curious. I still think that the lack of flexibility that it's going to give in years 2, 3, and 4, I just think is going to be really detrimental to a lot of the things that Billy Guerin's going to want to do here the next 2 or 3 or 4 years. And you're going to have to get guys on short-term deals. And, you know, and the other thing is, like, I almost feel like if what the Wild should have done, even though there would have been no benefit to buying him out next year, I think what you would have done is either sat down, because there was no communication with Ryan. So I think you should have sat down with Ryan and said, look, you could either waive your no move now. We could try to move you and retain half the salary, and that'll help us. Or maybe what you do is, I'm just telling you, if you don't do that, you saw what happened with Zach last year. If you're not good, you know, you all of a sudden your 22 minutes could be 18. All of a sudden your number two power play minutes could be zero. You know, you could wind up in the press box and sort of let him know that, like, you don't want that to follow you. And I'm not saying threaten the guy, but I just think I still look at this, the more I evaluate after the fact, I just think it's very, very, you know, I think they've put themselves in a bit of a box that I think is going to affect them. And it's even though they got a ton of cap space this offseason, it's going to affect even the guys that you can sign here, because now they're going to have to go after guys like Alex Goligoski and try to get him on a 2 or 3 year deal. Try to get like a, you know, Jake McCabe, you know, Ian Cole on a short term deal. It's going to be guys like that on short term deals all the while that I think you could also look at and say they're not as good as Ryan Suter. Let's talk a little bit about Carson Soucy. Interesting, you know, Anthony. So I heard something interesting from talking to a GM that it looked that he thought that Billy Guerin must have made a deal with Seattle. And the reason why is that he was trying to get Seattle to flip Kakinen to him. So he figured that since they didn't take Kakinen, that there must have been a side deal here. Billy Guerin says he made no side deal with them. So that one, it's interesting to show that there is one team out there that might have interest in Kakinen at some point here. That's good for my intel to know. But the other thing that's interesting is what that tells you is maybe Seattle really does have some sort of deal with Carson Soucy to flip somewhere else, and that was more beneficial to Ron Francis. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, it doesn't surprise me that there are some teams out there that like Kakinen. I mean, this is a guy who won 16 games last year. I mean, we're not mm-hmm. talking about a guy that was a slouch. The opinion that I offered earlier was just what I saw down the stretch from him. I have some concerns heading into the season, but I think there's probably, I would guess, a fair number of those kind of flip deals that Francis may have mm-hmm. already put in place, and some of them might have been contingent on, all right, well, if we can get this guy, you know, then yeah, we'll move him, and maybe that's where we're going to start to see some of these multiple asset kind of deals, and he probably was. It had to be a tough spot because you're looking at, and everybody's going to be comparing you to Vegas. And what Vegas did, they ran the system brilliantly. They caught lightning in a bottle and got off to a great start, built an incredible atmosphere inside their building. I mean, everything happened right for them. And they went to the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, so now everything Seattle does, no matter what it is going to be compared to that. And you're dealing with 29 GMs who learned a lesson that time around that is going to make it almost impossible to win the kind of deals the way Vegas won the deals. So I think he had to look at it differently. And maybe the way he looked at it was, I'll grab some players that other teams have interest in, and that's where I can pick mm-hmm. up my multiple assets after the fact, where it could be deal Carson Soucy here and pick up a couple of prospects rather than trying to get a couple of prospects from Bill Guerin to allow him to keep Carson Soucy.
Yeah, and I think things will also become clearer, even from a Minnesota perspective. Again, at noon, the trade freeze is lifted. Maybe even the Wild have some trades that have been sitting there waiting. We'll find out today. It's funny, Anthony, and don't make fun of me because I know you will, but it's funny that so I need to suddenly have this little surgical procedure, and they wanted to do it today, this afternoon, and I said to the doctor, I'm like, you know, even though this is probably also a gamble, let's do it tomorrow afternoon because I just – you know, when you have 5 days of talking and there's no trades are being able to be made, you just feel like at noon today it could be wild. So I'm just like sitting there and thinking, you know, maybe I shouldn't put myself into a little anesthesia today at noon. I'll just do that tomorrow, which will also be 4 hours before the draft. So
right. What I actually was going to make fun of you for was like, why would you be having surgery? Is like your calf sore again or something?
And you had to go
to an emergency room?
No, I got a bit of a back issue that's cropped up. And obviously this time it's real, Anthony, since they're actually going to do a little operation.
I thought maybe like you hurt your finger pushing the buttons on your coffee maker or something. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that when you use the same finger like 9 times a day to push that button, it can get tired in that middle knuckle.
Yeah. Just remember, everybody, when you see my obituary in the paper on Saturday, just remember that Anthony's going to be feeling guilty. Hey, I want to tell everybody about my friends and Profile, and that would be really sad if after all this weight loss, I still wind up rolling over. That would be really, really awful. Kind of ironic, though. But let's face it, when it comes to losing weight, most of us don't care how we get there. But once we reach our goal, we end up right back where we started and gain it all back. And that's why I just absolutely love Profile. As Anthony could attest, I'm not eating the exact same food anymore. I even dabble in having some wine here, and yet my weight has not fluctuated, and usually it goes up. But I've still figured out a way to maintain my weight here now for several months. And it's because I'm in it for the long haul with Profile. Profile knows that losing weight isn't always a straight line. There are lots of ups and downs. I'm so thankful that my profile coach, Danette, who I'll be talking to right after this podcast, is there to keep me on track when I need it most. I can't say enough about Profile. It's changed my life, and it can change yours too. Profile has 6 metro locations, as well as Mankato, St. Cloud, and Rochester. In fact, I have a friend of mine that I think just started in Rochester. So don't wait. Call today or visit profileplan.com for a location nearest you and use promo code Russo for a special discount. That's profileplan.com. And here's a word from Minnesota Propane Association.
Hi, I'm Laura Shera. And did you know that a propane gas furnace lifespan averages 20 years, while electric heat pumps only last 14 years? And propane furnaces work in all temperatures while delivering warm and consistent heat to your home. Why buy 2 heating systems when one propane furnace can do it all? It lasts longer, works better, and it costs less. These things and more are done with propane today. The right energy right now.
You know, Chris Lundell told me something fascinating the other day. He said people feel optimistic and super energized right now, but they're still not confident enough to put their home on the market. Then Chris told me something else they should be. What he meant was this: now is a great time to sell. The real estate market is strong and buyers are super energized, but sellers need the confidence that they'll find another home to buy. Chris Lundell Real Estate's Guaranteed Offer Program gives you just that confidence. Confidence that you're getting great value, that the experience will be incredibly convenient, and that you'll be able to bid on homes that other buyers can't even see. Everyone's saying there's no inventory. Well, Chris Lundell tells me there absolutely is, and he's got it. So don't let this summer of excitement go to waste. Get market rate value for your home, 90 full days to close, and access to off-market inventory. Call Chris Lundell Real Estate today at 763-401-SOLD and go to chrislundell.com to request a no obligation guaranteed offer on your home. That's chrislundell.com. Anthony, let's talk about Jack Eichel. So here's the latest with Jack Eichel. The Wild are still in trade talks with them. Right now, the price has not come down. They're looking for all futures. They want Boldy and Rossi. They want multiple first round picks. The Wild can't make the deal without giving up salary, as we talked about. It could be Fiala, it could be even still Dumba. And then all of a sudden, if you do that and they won't get off futures, now you're eating into your prospect core and you're giving up actual players on your deal in other to maybe a third party, or you get Buffalo to go that way. This just seems like a way to decimate your franchise, to get a number one center that hasn't shown the ability that he could carry a franchise by any stretch, that has neck injury, that right now the medical records have not been given to the Wild, so I don't know how you could give up these assets and pay a guy $10 million a year to not get a look at what's going on with his neck. Doesn't this seem like I get the Wild's desire to get a number one or two center, but I just don't know if this is the right move unless this price comes significantly down, which is what I think that Bill Guerin's banking on.
Yes, I agree with all of the above. I don't think, number one, you know, obviously you don't know what those assets are, but I wouldn't give 4 assets for Jack Eichel, especially not if they are number one draft pick type assets. And number two, I don't know how, you know, all along when we've been looking at, okay, well, if you were going to make that deal, who are the likely guys to go the other way in terms of off your NHL roster? And now in order to get to $10 million bucks going out, who does that involve? Yeah. I mean, there's just not a, I don't think.
Well, one's got to be Fiala.
That's two-thirds of it, 60% at best. The other guy's got to be a $4 million guy, and that's why we were always just thinking about it in terms of, you know, that maybe Matt Dumba pre-expansion draft was the guy.
I think it's going to be Fiala and Greenway.
I don't see how you can now. Matt Dumba can't be in a trade now, not with what's happened to your defensive core already.
I agree.
So now it has to be 2 forwards. So if you take 2 forwards away plus a couple of top end prospects to bring this guy in, I don't do it. And you know, I think what we've seen from Billy, at least what it appears, is that once he digs in his heels, he's not afraid to keep his poker face on and say, nope, that's too much. I just don't see him being the guy that cracks and comes back and says, well, okay, we waited a week and you didn't come down, so here you go, I'll give you what you asked for. I think he's got in his mind what the price is, and if it doesn't come down to his level, then, and I don't know what that level is. So instead of trying to guess what his level might be, Let's say it eliminates one of those guys, and it's Fiala, Greenway, and one prospect. I still don't think I'd want to make that deal if I was the GM. But you know, that from what it sounds like, that's what they're demanding from other teams too, is a four asset package and four asset at that level. I can't imagine somebody pulls the trigger on that. But you know,
Yeah,
I could be
I
wrong.
think all these teams are being patient, and I think Minnesota is one of them, and I would continue to be if I was Minnesota. I personally,
So would you give three assets? Would you, let's just say hypothetically, it's Fiala, Greenway, and one of those top end prospects. So I'm talking Boldy or Rossi type level prospects. Would you make that deal?
maybe if it was Boldy, I don't. I would want to keep Rossi. I just think this team needs to build up the middle. I don't think I would do it. I just think there are going to be better avenues to go here in the next couple of years. And again, to me, he could be damaged goods. Like, I want to get a look at this neck. And the other thing is, by the way, if he has neck surgery at this point, he's most likely missing the start of the season. So it's like every day that goes by that this trade doesn't get done, it just also, you're eating into that and you're giving up, you're devastating your franchise. Like, I just think the Wild, you have Boldy and Rossi coming. I think build through those guys right now until maybe somebody else comes along, whether it's a Zibanejad next summer or other top centers, or maybe you could develop these guys. That's just personally me. I don't think I would have the guts to do this. But of course, I wouldn't have had the guts to buy out Ryan Suter either. And so Billy's bold. And so obviously he's got a lot more information than we do. So maybe he's got something up their sleeve. But I just think also, if Buffalo isn't willing, and Buffalo's in this sort of rebuild stage here where I don't know if Fiala is going to be interesting to them, because Fiala's not going to sign long term in Buffalo. No freaking way. And so, like, that's so to me, the only way to even get this done would be to trade Fiala somewhere else. And then I don't even know how to even put the puzzle together here, because now you're giving Fiala to another team, but you're giving all these assets to Buffalo, and now you're really devastating your franchise. So again, I'm just talking off the top of my head here, but it just seems like a major complicated thing. And I just don't know how Bill Guerin at this point satisfies Buffalo's wishes for a guy that, again, I don't know if it's worth it. I mean, he has not shown the ability to lead that franchise yet. And I know he's only 24 or 5, but he's coming off a couple tough years in a row, and he's hurt. I don't know. It just seems very,
And
very.
we're, you know, we talk about guys thriving in a bigger role. I think, you know, we saw a little bit of it last year as some of the next wave of Wild players were empowered when some of the veteran guys moved down in the lineup, some of the veteran guys were jettisoned away. That I think, you know, there's a part of you that, you know, I still don't think we've seen what the best of Jordan Greenway is going to be. You know, not that I'm not saying I think this guy's all of a sudden going to turn into a 40 goal scorer, and therefore we don't need to go out and look for a top end center. I'm just saying I bet there's a part of the thought process within the Wild organization that, you know what, now all of a sudden we might, you know, if this guy just comes into camp with a looking at the depth chart, knowing he's got a shot to be a top six guy and maybe a power play guy that maybe we see. Maybe things are different. I don't know. I just think that, especially in a club that's going to be a little cap strapped a couple of years down the road right now, I think you'd really be, I think it would be a hamstringing type trade if you're willing to go to four assets and maybe even three just to bring Jack Eichel in.
One team, I wonder if there is a fit for a trade. There's always, I was talking to a front office person for another team yesterday, and he said there's always teams that there's always stuff that's talked about in the media that or not talked about in the media that is going on behind the scenes. We don't fancy to know everything, right? And he said the one
Far
team that
from
I
it.
think is yeah, but the one team that I that he says that he's hearing is ready to make a big move is Vancouver. And I do wonder if there could be a fit there. Like, you look at Vancouver and try to get a JT Miller and a Nate Schmidt or something like that and make a significant trade there, where, because I get the impression, Anthony, that Kevin Fiala is absolutely in play this summer. Like, I really do think it's 50-50 on whether or not he is dealt. And I actually think that he might have already been dealt if Kirill Kaprizov was already signed. I could be totally off on that. But if that's the case, you know, could you maybe look at a team like Vancouver and try to get a center like JT Miller, but also fill in that left shot? Because the one thing is that you need, now that you don't have Soucy and you don't have Suter, you need a guy that's going to slide into that top four role, right? Ian Cole's not doing that. David Savard's not doing that. I don't even know if Jake McCabe is doing that. You know, could Nate Schmidt do that? I don't know. What do you think?
I'm not as big a Nate Schmidt fan. I mean, I love the guy personally, and he brings some offensive upside. I'm not as convinced that, you know, I mean, but again, we're comparing to what Minnesota had, which was two defensive pairs that they could count on against just about anybody defensively. And maybe you just have to restructure the way you think about that. Mm-hmm. If you've got a little more offensive minded guy in your top four. So maybe, and I haven't looked at Vancouver's roster at all to see, but it does, it wouldn't surprise me if they were in a revamp mode where it's, you know, they overachieved a little bit during the bubble playoff year and caught a couple teams by surprise. But the reality is what they had was they had some great special teams and a mediocre depth on their, I felt anyway. I mean, they had their top six was good. Their bottom six was terrible up front. And mm-hmm. yet, but they did just enough on the special teams to be successful that year. So I think they came in with some expectations that were, that they were closer than what they probably really were.
Yep.
And, you know, 100%. So it wouldn't surprise me if they were in a let's restructure, reshape things mode. You know, the, I don't know about JT Miller really, well, turned out to be a great fit for them. And, you know, I don't know if they're, if it's that, if it's reached that level, like they'd be willing to move Miller and Schmidt. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I agree with you on Fiala, though. I agree with you on Fiala. I think that a lot of this hinges on Kaprizov, because I don't think that if Kaprizov, if there's any chance that they don't get a deal done, which I still think they will, but
yeah,
let's just say that
in
the back of their mind, if they're saying, boy, if we traded Kevin Fiala and then didn't get Kaprizov signed, holy cow, would we be in trouble? So I think there's probably a, you know, even though they might have a confidence they're going to get it done, until you have it done, it's hard to bank on it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I think that the reason why Fiala's in play is because there are teams that have seen Fiala the last two seasons and have seen the glimpses of greatness where you've said, okay, this guy could be an impact, game-changing type guy, and those guys aren't easy to find.
Yeah, I agree. So if you're not making a trade for Miller, if you're not making a trade for Eichel, I don't sense that they love Monahan. I think they're in on Christian Dvorak, but there's no pressure for Arizona to move him. He's on a team-friendly deal, locked up long-term. You know, you got to go into free agency, I think, and get a center. So, look, I think they got to get a center. I mean, I don't think you can come back with Victor Rask and Ryan Hartman. That's not going to get Kirill Kaprizov all excited again. I'm just saying in that spot. Obviously, Victor Rask and Ryan Hartman is going to be on this team, but I think you can move Hartman back to wing. I think that you can drop Victor Rask in the lineup personally. So let's talk about what they're going to do. In free agency, I think they're signing Nick Foligno, and they're going to plug him right into Zach Parise's spot at left wing. I think that they're interested in guys, in-depth guys, maybe up front, like Freddie Goudreau, who's a center that Dean Evason loved, you know, people like that. But would you, if you were, knowing that the Wild now can really only sign guys to like one-year deals at $4 million or something at center, would you go after a David Krejci, who's 35 years old, who is a playmaker, who, by the way, we watched at the end of that one Boston game stun the Wild a couple years ago. Remember that? When he scored like two goals in the final minute. What if they did something like that, or a Paul Stastny, or try to go there and sign one of these guys to maybe like a one-year, two-year deal in the 4 to 5 range?
Well, I love Krejci as a player, and I think he has a lot left, even at his age. And, yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly what they're going to have to do, and they might have to do that on the defensive side too, is sign a more veteran guy. But I think what the key is that these guys all have to – they have to be probably two-year deals, right, at max,
yeah.
Just because the third year is where you get a little cap hit, and at that point – that's where I'm sure the way Billy's looking at this is that's where my young guys within the organization have to be ready to step in, because frankly, I've got to have a couple guys, you know, on small entry level deals. Otherwise we don't have enough money. So I don't know if those guys, you know, if you're 35 or 2 year deals, you know, maybe that they're willing to do that. Krejci, I like more than Stastny in terms of how he fits with this club. Stastny, I like too as a player, but you know, he's not a guy that you'd be looking at as a potential first or second line center, where Krejci, I think, still could be that guy.
Yeah. The one thing I do like about the Stastny thought, Anthony, is that you could put him at second or third line center. And if it's third line center, you just elevate Eriksson Ek. Where like, I still think Stastny could play. I think he'd help your power play, he'd win draws. But he could also play in that third line role. And on a short-term deal like that.
Right. I like Stastny. I just think if you're looking for a guy that fits a little bit better with what they're lacking, which is a playmaking type center that can play with skilled guys, that's more Krejci than Stastny.
Yeah.
But
no
if
doubt.
You're looking for a guy that can be a little sturdier and can be a face-off specialist, which they also need, and could be a potentially a third line center guy, then Stastny's the better fit for that. And I think, you know, I think a lot of that comes back to whether or not Marco Rossi's ready to step in a top six role early next season. And if he is, you know, now you got something, and Stastny could be a lower line guy.
Yeah. Krejci's 35, Stastny's 35. Two guys in their 20s. Tell me if you have any thoughts on them. How about just one guy, Wennberg? 26 years old, 17 goals last year for Florida. You know, does that interest you?
Haven't seen enough of him to have a definite opinion. What we saw from him earlier in his career, he was never a guy that excited me much. But, you know, last year was so tough, and I know we've talked about it, that you didn't see these guys in person often enough to really have a great handle on exactly what he might bring. And, you know, I mean, we've never seen a ton of Wennberg because he's been in the Eastern Conference, but he's never been a guy that's been really that exciting. And I got to believe a guy at 26, he's not looking for a 2 year deal right now.
No, definitely not. I will say this, the one guy we haven't talked about is Sam Reinhart. Like, I think I truly genuinely believe that, you know, he is a fallback plan for Billy if things don't work out for Eichel. Reinhart just still to me, and again, as you just said, Anthony, it's not like the only time I would ever turn on the Buffalo Sabres if it like accidentally was on my TV and I quickly grabbed the remote to change it, right? We didn't watch a lot of Buffalo last year. But Reinhart, same thing. Like, you know, like I just don't know. I had Elliot Friedman on the radio about a month ago, and he really raved about the type of player that Reinhart was last year in a tough situation. And he is young, 25. He is a consistent 20-goal scorer. Now, the only thing I know about Reinhart is that he's not the greatest skater, but he's super smart and super skilled. He definitely helped the power play, I would think. But he's another one of those guys, by the way, that was just moved to the middle. Like, he's mostly been a winger, right, for the most part in his career. So I don't know what I think of that. But, you know, I don't know if a Reinhart for Fiala swap makes sense. I don't know. You and I have discussed it well. I think it was you, it was one of us that said on a recent podcast, you know, like that Reinhart's the type of guy that, you know, where Fiala could be a game breaker and change a game. Is Reinhart the same thing? It's hard to say he is, right?
I think it would be incorrect to say he is, but, you know, I mean, sometimes you have to be willing to accept a little bit less to get a guy who can play in the middle compared to a winger, without a doubt. But I don't know. Reinhart, I'd be a little bit intrigued by him, but it would all come down to price, and the price has got to be lower for him. And, you know, with all of these things, there's, when you try to speculate on how guys fit, there's so many other pieces that affect how a guy fits. You know, you mentioned Nick Foligno. Well, if Nick Foligno's here, now the way other guys fit changes dramatically. You know what I mean? Because now all of a sudden you've just got a different type of player in that spot. Where if, let's just say it was a smaller skilled guy, let's say that the guy that was in that spot was a a guy who is more like a Zach Parise than a Nick Foligno. Well, now you're looking for a different type of guy on the free agent market, in my opinion, as a center. And so I think all of these things are so tied together that it's impossible to just say, well, would you rather have this guy or this guy? Because it depends on who the other additions that you've made really are. And, you know, I just think it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next 48 hours, because I've felt from the beginning that Billy has a picture in his mind of what he wants things to look like. And he doesn't say much. He doesn't let you inside much with what that specifically is, but he's used the word bold earlier. And I think bold is an understatement, where he's got an idea. Yeah. I mean, he's got an idea of what he wants, and you know what, we'll figure it out, but I know this ain't working, so I'm going to change it.
Yeah.
I love the way his aggressiveness has been. Yeah, so far.
He's got convictions. We'll There's no doubt about it. Like, I mean, we're seeing that with Brendan Minnell right now. I mean, I think a lot of us would just say, all right, just give him his contract. But Billy's like, no, I'm sorry. 1 year, two way and 200 in the minors. That's it. And sorry, you want 450? That doesn't happen here anymore. Like, that's the way it works.
Right. Able to do that and stick and just say, I've got, that's what we were talking about with the trade earlier. Like, I think he's got in his mind, this is what it's worth to me. This is what you're worth to me. This is what you bring. And anything more than that is a bad deal for me. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, and I do want to talk to you about one of those other convictions that he has, and that's Kirill Kaprizov. Plus, we got a lot of Twitter questions that I want to just bang through here as well. But yesterday, I got a call from Aquarius Home Services to set up my twice-a-year water softener maintenance appointment and once-a-year reverse osmosis water system maintenance, or whatever they do to keep my water tasting great. That's how good they are, because there's no way I would have remembered. So if you're looking for a one-stop shop for all your home service needs, go to Aquarius Home Services. They're my buddies. And they're dedicated to providing the highest quality water treatment, plumbing, heating, and cooling services. They pride themselves on providing superior customer service. They respect you, your time, and your attention to details as well that really make a difference. So not only do they provide superior customer service, they're 100% performance guaranteed. And they bring the best material, product, and labor warranties in the business as well. Aquarius believes in earning the right to be recommended, and I highly recommend them. If you're looking for a company you could trust for your water treatment, plumbing, and heating and cooling systems, contact Aquarius at AquariusHomeServices.com. And don't forget to tell them that Russo sent you. And I swear to goodness, Anthony, you're not going to believe it, but I walked into Kowalski's yesterday and I bought Studio by Merivale. I got it sitting in my – they had two bottles left, by the way. And I got two sitting right now in my wine fridge. So tell everybody about Kowalski's.
Well, it's the best place to go. We just had a great weekend at some friend's cabin and brought the food along for a couple of awesome meals. And the great thing I love about it is, number one, the selection's terrific. But in this case, I knew I wanted sea bass. So I just gave them a couple days notice. I said, hey, Thursday I'm leaving town at noon. Can you have some sea bass to make sure it was ready? Yep, absolutely. They had it wrapped up for me and ready to roll. And no matter what, I've had other instances where I wanted to make, I know these are some of your favorites, but squid tunnels. So the calamari tubes. And we had them up in Winnipeg at a restaurant. I loved them. So I gave them a heads up on that one time too. I said, look, they said, you just give us a couple days. We'll make sure we get them in, and they get their seafood orders a couple times a week. And so sure enough, they had them, they're ready for me. And then the other thing is their meat, their like salami and cheese selection was terrific. We had a truffle cheese that was great. This Dulce de Burgoyne we've been eating lately is phenomenal. So bottom line is we had a couple great meals up there at this cabin, and it all started with the stop at Kowalski's on the way out of town. If you're going to have a great meal, you got to start with the best raw materials, the best food, and for that, go to Kowalski's.
And here's a word from Bosch Law Firm.
Jerry Bosch here from Bosch Law Firm and WorkCompExperts.com. If you've been injured at work, call us. Even if the insurer is paying your claim, we'd be happy to discuss your situation to make sure you're being paid all the appropriate benefits. I can guarantee you that the insurance company is not telling you everything you need to know to maximize the value of your claims and protect your future. The call is always free, and there's never a fee unless we win benefits on your behalf, and we service clients all over the state of hockey. So please call the WorkComp experts at Bosch Law Firm, 651 651- 833-8300 or find us at workcompexperts.com.
Back here, Worst Seats in the House, Michael Russo, Anthony LaPanta. And by the way, I did go to the deli section yesterday and bought a bunch of turkey, and I even got some kebabs at the butcher there. So that was pretty cool.
Well, you know what? Hey. They've got great stuff in that way that's like, if you're overwhelmed a little bit by like, oh, I wouldn't even know how to prepare it, they've got a great variety of that kind of stuff there. So even a guy like you, now you would have to be careful so you don't hurt yourself while grilling and end up in the emergency room, but they do have great options for you to keep it simple.
That's funny you said that, because I was trying to put the propane tank on my – I ran out of propane, so I was trying to put that on my grill yesterday, and I almost dropped it right on my big toe.
Who did you have to call to help you with it?
I almost called Greenlay to just come over. I called Greenlay the other day. I'm like, hey, I need you to come over and put on a shower head.
Yeah, it's – well, I mean, that – you know, I could see where that would – you'd need help with that.
I opened the box – so I bought the shower head online. And so people are going to love this. So I opened the box, and the first thing it said is, grabbed your pliers. And I'm like, well, now I got to go to Home Depot and buy some pliers. So anyway, let's talk about Kaprizov. So I reported the other day that his agent is heading out to Moscow next week to meet with him. He does have an offer from CSKA Moscow, CSKA Moscow. I don't think it's a smokescreen from the standpoint that – like, he definitely has this, but I think it's a smokescreen from the standpoint, like, there is no way that Kirill Kaprizov's
not going to sign in the KHL.
I mean, this is just his agent doing agent things. Yeah.
Right. Isn't the cap in the KHL still like $15 million bucks for the whole team?
Yeah, but that's the cap in the KHL. There's other ways that, trust me, that those guys make money.
I understand that, but I mean.
Especially for the team he plays for. So.
Right. There's no doubt about that. But I mean, but it isn't going to be NHL money, no matter how much of it's coming under the table or illegally or whatever else. And I mean, he's not going to sign in the KHL. He just isn't. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I've been talking to a lot of people about this. What it's legit and the offer's legit, and it's an agent trying to create any kind of leverage he can. But if you're Kirill Kaprizov and you go sign in the KHL and say, I want a 3-year deal because I want to be a free agent in the NHL when I'm 26 years old or 27 or whatever he would be at that point. And do you really, what happens if you blow out your knee in one of those three seasons? What happens if, I mean, these aren't exactly the most astute when it comes to physical training and all that kind of stuff over there, the medical facilities, all that kind of stuff. You've got guys over there that are, you know, let's just say you're playing against a different class of opponents than what you face in the NHL. And when you're 26 and all of a sudden come back and say, okay, now NHL teams, I'd like a 7-year, 100, and you keep using the Panarin deal as your model. I'd like a 7-year, $112 million deal. Here's my resume. I played 55 games with the Minnesota Wild and then went back to the KHL for 3 years and played over there. I mean, that just isn't going to happen.
Yeah. This is frankly why teams avoid players like this. I mean, because of the constant threat that he's got one foot out the door. And I just think, I don't know. I don't like, and look, I think this kid is a great, great kid. Everybody in that locker room tells me he's a great, great kid. I think at some point he's got to step up and tell his agent, like, let's get this done. I'm tired of holding the team hostage. I'm tired of playing the emotional roller coaster game with a fan base that is fragile as it is. You know, this team waited 5.5 years to get here. He came here, lived up to expectations. They're offering him to make him a $9 million player after 55 games. Let's just get it done here. And I just think there comes a point here where he's just got to say to his agent, this is not the right way to handle this process. And, you know, that's just my personal opinion on the whole thing, because I just think this is sort of agent driven here. I think his agent's trying to do what's right for his client. I get that. But it's not the Wild's fault that he decided to come here at 24 years old and cost himself a gazillion dollars. Because if he came here at 18 years old and was this type of player at 18, which he might not have been at 18, but if he came here at 19 or 20 and was this type of player, he would have been a $10 million player right now. It's not the Wild's job to turn him into that, because he gave up a lot of the money that he would have made here. He's cost himself already enough money. Let's just sign the deal and get this done.
Right. And I think the comment that you just made about the fact that he's 55 games into an NHL career and they offered him $9 million a year, or at least it sounds like something close to that, if not that. I mean, think about that for a moment when you step back and
yes.
say, okay, look, that just doesn't happen in this league very often. And it's not like they're trying to screw him with this and say, hey, we'll give you 8 years at $5 million, take it or leave it. I mean, they're trying to give this guy life-changing cash. And he just is, it has to get done. He's not yeah. signing in the KHL. And again, this goes back to what we said about Billy, is Billy's not going to all of a sudden come back to him and say, okay, well, I'll just give you 3 years at $9 million just to get it done. He is, there's no way.
Yep. Hey, if you're cool with it, Anthony, let's just quickly go through about, you know, a number of Twitter questions that won't take long, but it'll get us to good, decent topics. Evan Holm asks, how much is Kuznetsov being considered as an option for center? Could the Russian connection with Kaprizov make something like that with the Capitals happen? You know, I don't disagree with your sentiment. I don't think the Wild have any interest in him because he's got a ton of baggage off the ice. And frankly, he hasn't been good. Last year,
and especially when you're trying to reform the culture inside a locker room, that's mm-hmm. not what they're interested in.
Exactly. Nathan asks, wondering why Kakanen wasn't exempt for the expansion draft. Thought he was a rookie. He is, but it's not rookie. That it's if you're a third year pro or less. So if you're a first or second year pro, which that's what Kakanen's been a pro player now in North America for 3 years. So that's why he had to be exposed. Let me throw a hockey fan Dan asks, when Foligno signs with us, how excited are you going to be knowing you'll get to cover both of them? Extremely excited, Anthony. I don't know if you've gotten a deal with Nick. I've dealt with him for many, many years. He's a gem of a guy. I knew him longer than I knew Marcus. And if it happens, we're going to be, I think Bally Sports North and the Athletic are going to be very happy with that.
Yeah, and I'm saying
well, off the ice.
Yeah, I've only talked with him a few times, but he, you know, that, and a lot of the conversation has been family related, and you know, because it would be, hey, you're playing against Marcus and all this kind of stuff. But sure seems like it, and was just a beloved guy in Columbus. I mean, it was amazing, you know, the face of the franchise really for years there, and so I mean, as you try to restructure culture in a locker room, I can't imagine many better fits.
100%. There's Nick Foligno, and then there's Evgeny Kuznetsov. Vast opposite.
Slight difference.
Yeah. Off the ice. On the ice, all right. Nick's not the same player he used to be. But they're bringing him in for his grit and his character, and if they bring Hood again. I mean, he's going to have other options as well. And I don't see the Wild breaking the bank for him. So he might have to say, all right, I made my money. I'm going to come here. It'll be kind of ironic that Marcus comes here, his contract, which is at 3-1, and if Nick has to come in at a little less than his brother, they used to, you know, they were roommate. Nick Foligno and Marcus Foligno were roommates back home when Nick was in the NHL during the offseason. That just shows you how tight the brothers are. They actually lived in the same room. Mike Burgoyne about Ryan O'Rourke. Did he play well last year in Iowa? They loved Ryan O'Rourke. And the reason why this question is coming up, Anthony, is I don't know if you saw the tweet, but Darren Dreger reported that players that are under 20, which normally wouldn't be allowed to play in the AHL, if they played 20 or more games last year in the AHL, they will be eligible. That's the way it's at least going right now. The CHL, the Canadian Hockey League, and the NHL are in talks. So the only one that would really be a guy like Ryan O'Rourke played 30-something games in the AHL last year. So, and I think he's a really quality prospect and the type of prospect that the Wild need, Anthony, because we talked about how they're kind of an undersized blue line. And now the one thing about Ryan O'Rourke is he's got size and he's a heavy hitter. So they could maybe develop him into a defenseman in the AHL. That'd be huge.
Well, it would be huge. And this all is, I think, structured around what the template seems to be is, are these guys going to be ready 2 years from now when you have to be able to build your roster without cash? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know if we're talking about a guy who would be ready to step into a major role that soon, but sure seems like it if he's, you know, if you project him ahead with another year, which would give him a year and a half in the AHL, and, So, I mean, I think with a lot of these guys, that's really what the picture has to be, because you know you're just not going to have any extra cash at that point,
Yep.
you know,
No
barring
doubt.
significant other deals that we don't know about yet. But
Yeah.
yeah, so I haven't seen much of him play, but he sure sounds like he's on the right path.
Sam asks, any update on new sweaters for the season? Are they doing one for the Winter Classic? Last I heard, it was just going to be a Winter Classic jersey. Then they'll push the third jersey, which I think is already designed, till 2 years from now. The Winter Classic jersey, just so you know, if you hate it all, is designed by the NHL, not the Wild. We'll see what that looks like. I haven't gotten a look at it. I heard the actual sweater's green, so we'll see what it looks like. Jackson asks, how are you going to live with no more expansion questions for a long time? There's always a topic, Anthony, that's going to annoy me. What about you? That's the one thing in this business is that you know there's always going to be another topic. Yeah, it's not going to be expansion, but now it's Eichel, and then after Eichel, it's going to be Barkov, and then after Barkov, it's going to be this and that, and there's always something to
Yeah,
talk about.
there is always something for certain. I mean, the short term right now is going to be the Kaprizov and Fiala situation. That's going to be now the next question for, you know, the next month or so. Hopefully it's faster than that. But yeah, there's always something. And you know, as soon as you think that things are stable and now, okay, the roster is set, the team is set, here we go, something always comes up. And
Yep.
so I'm not worried about, let's just say this. I'm not worried about there being topics that make you worry.
Yep. No doubt. That yeah,
It's
that's that
there's
right
no
there that bothers
topic
me.
out there that's going to make me worry,
Yeah.
but I there will be no shortage of topics that add stress to Michael Russo's life.
Yeah, that is true. Let me just bang through like five or six more of these, and then we'll wrap up the show. By the way, I did get a text from a source that told me that David Krejci is either going to go to the Bruins or return to the Czech Republic. So take him off. And the other one is somebody else asked me the other day on Twitter about Chalmerson. I hear the same thing. If he doesn't re-sign in Arizona, he might just retire. Jason Deathflop asks, what are the chances of going after Malkin? I don't think. I think
Nil.
that Billy loves him, but he wrecked his knee also in the playoffs. So I don't think that makes a ton of sense. Let's see.
You know, one of the questions that made me chuckle was I saw one that somebody asked, how soon after we release the podcast will Billy make a big
Yeah, I
deal?
know.
Remember last
Trust
week
me.
we did the
Yeah.
podcast and about 6 hours later, Parisian Suter had been bought out. So yeah, so this I'd say set your watches now. We're, you know, this is Thursday morning, so I'd say Thursday afternoon we'll probably have either a signing or a trade that the Wild are ready to
No doubt.
announce.
Yeah. Trust me. At noon today, I'll be texting Brandon to be like, oh, hold it off, hold it off. Kim asked, any idea when the regular season schedule is released? So that will happen tonight. I think it's going to be live on SportsCenter at 6 or 5 our time.
Yeah,
The
I thought
way
I had
this.
heard originally they were going to announce all the home openers last night and then the schedule tonight. But I, you know, now that I think about it, they announced Seattle's home opener and Seattle's opening night and everything, but they didn't announce the rest
Yeah,
of the home
they
openers.
didn't. Yep. And by the way, your connection is a little funky if you want to just log off and log back on. So what the way that I understand it is that the schedule is going to be coming out today. We will get a good idea. I hear the Wild are starting in Anaheim. I don't know where their home opener is. It's going to have the Olympic break in there, but the
Well, I would
Olympic
hope their
break.
home opener is in St. Paul.
Their home opener's here. Sorry, I don't know who it's
Yeah.
against. My gut
Okay,
says it's
good.
probably like Winnipeg or a team like that, but they're starting in Anaheim. It will have the Olympic break in there, but the Olympics are not set in stone yet. So if the Olympics
Right.
don't happen, there's going to be a new schedule that comes out because you can't just take the February Olympic break and just take a chunk from somewhere else and move it in there. They're going to have to redo the whole schedule. So there is a second schedule that they're just not releasing because obviously it looks like the NHL is going to wind up in the Olympics. But so even I wouldn't book flights if you want to take trips yet until this thing is cemented in stone. And there will be an Olympic break. There will be an All-Star game February, I think 3rd and 4th or 4th and 5th in Vegas. So that will all come out today. Let me just see if any other questions make sense here. Did I tell you that I saw Andrew McCain play in the Minnesota State Open? He was a top pro, got paid last week, which was cool because he's won it twice before. Once couldn't take the money, Anthony. So it was pretty cool.
I was watching his scores, and boy, it looked like a dramatic finish. There was a three-way tie at the top, and one of the guys birdied 18, the other two bogeyed 18. So it was a two-shot swing on the last hole of the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, and he wound up three putting 18 because he essentially went for like a 30-foot putt to try to tie and get into that. Unfortunately, his first tee shot went out of bounds, and that probably cost him the tournament. But he at least was the first pro that finished, so he's the one that got the top money. So we're on 13, and I'm walking around the course watching him, and then this guy in the background, like a house, played as like he's about to chip onto the green. It was probably his best shot of the day. But in the middle of his backswing, he played Chris Young's One of Them Nights as loud as you could possibly be, like we were at a concert. And McCain just started laughing, and I was just thinking, so that's what it's like to play in a tournament like that. You know, it's not exactly exactly playing the Masters or the British Open.
Be out walking the course this weekend because it's the Tournament of Donkeys Classic this weekend. So I assume you'll be out walking the course. There are no pros, but we're all pretty damn good.
Yeah, you are aware that the NHL draft is this weekend, right? Plus, I'm having major surgery tomorrow, so I got to get that done. Let's see, Bonnie asks, can Garen trade the buyout cap hits to another team? Nope. Why is Vegas exempt from the expansion draft? $600 million to get into the league. Free agent signings aside, Anthony, do you see someone like Kalen Addison now having a shot to make the roster? I definitely think there's a chance. Don't you think?
I'd be surprised if he didn't make the roster.
Yeah.
Before the buyout, I would have said, I don't think he makes the team out of training camp, but would be here at some point. Now I'd be a little bit surprised if he's not in your top seven defensemen.
Wild fan 55 John S. Would the Wild have any interest in Ryan Johansson or Matt Duchene if Nashville retained salary? I just don't think so. What do you think?
Well, I mean, that's a big question. I mean, if they retain 95% of the salary, then yes, but that's not going to happen. Not really. I would say I don't think either one of those guys fits what they're trying to build here.
Exactly. Dave Schmidt asks, with Suter and Parisi gone, will we finally learn what happened with Josh Harding's foot? I don't know what that has to do with Parisi and Suter. He had nothing to do with it. Eric Bromberg asks, do you think the Wild would go after a guy like Keith Yandel? My answer to that would be not if they employ pro scouts. What do you think?
No, absolutely
no chance. Yeah, he's just a pylon right now. Nikolai, final question. How excited are you for your trip to Cabo, knowing that's when Kaprizov will sign? That is a funny question, especially because my trip to Cabo blew up in my face the other day. Anthony, the hotel that I was staying at in Cabo is indefinitely closed. So I had to like cancel my entire trip to Cabo. So right now I think I'm going to Cancun, which means that he'll still sign
just
while I'm there.
It just ain't easy being Russo.
It is not easy being me. There's always stress. There's always stress to deal with. Nothing is ever easy. Hey, thanks as always for everybody for listening to this podcast. Thanks to Brandon Morton for producing. Thanks to Anthony LaPanta for listening to me babble and giving me crap all the time. Thanks to Profile by Sanford, Minnesota Propane Association, Chris Lindahl Real Estate, Aquarius Home Services, Kowalski's, and Bosch Law Firm. A week from yesterday is free agency, so a week from today we'll probably be doing a podcast to go over all of that. So Anthony, talk to you probably next Thursday.
Sounds great. Good luck with the surgery.
So much coming out, there's nothing going in. I know that you feel like you're never gonna win. Oh, but the world won't forgive a winner.
If you're not good, you know, all of a sudden your 22 minutes could be 18. All of a sudden your number two power play minutes could be zero. You know, you could wind up in the press box.